Radio Prague News.
The Daily Pravo reports that hundreds more police will be retiring this year than the Interior Ministry has anticipated. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says that improving the quality of college education is a high priority for his government. And the Czech Republic has taken the silver at the 2010 Women's Basketball World Championships. The Daily Pravo reports that hundreds more police will be voluntarily retiring this year than the Interior Ministry has anticipated. Citing police statistics, Pravo writes that the Presidium expects nearly 2,000 employees to leave the force at the end of 2010. Only recently, Interior Minister Radek Jon said he expected roughly 1,200 departures. The number of retirement applications apparently spiraled last week as police employees sought to take advantage of benefits and severance pay available to them only if they resigned by October. Some 950 policemen availed themselves of that possibility at the last moment. For comparison, about 1,100 retired earlier in the year. The Ministry of the Interior has planned to cut police salaries by 10%, in line with cuts across state employees' salaries. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says that improving the quality of college education is a top priority for his government. Speaking at the start of the new school year at the West Bohemian University in Plzeň, the Prime Minister said that educational reforms must focus on quality rather than quantity so as to keep the country's economy competitive in the long term. Also speaking at the event was Education Minister Josef Dobeš, who said he wants an amendment to legislation on colleges and a law on financial support for students in 2011. Mr. Dobeš also addressed last year's scandal over fraudulent degrees at the West Bohemian University, saying that he hoped this year would bring a definitive exoneration of the institution and its faculty. Precipitation in northern Bohemia for 2010 looks set to break a record of nearly 30 years. According to the Czech Meteorological Institute, precipitation in the town of Liberec has already exceeded anything they have on record, with more than 1,100 liters of water per square meter having fallen so far this year, or as much as in the wettest year since 1939. July, August, and September were all record-breaking months, bringing flooding and billions of crowns in damages. The Czech Republic have taken silver at the 2010 Women's Basketball World Championships, which were held in the Czech Republic. The Czechs were beaten 69-89 by the favorites, the USA, in Sunday's final at the KV Arena in Karlovy Vary. It was the first time the Czech women had reached the final at the World Championships since 1971, when they won silver while still part of Czechoslovakia. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy with highs of roughly 16 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic tightens security in response to US warnings of possible terrorist attacks in Europe. We talk to a security expert about the gravity of the threat. The Czech Education Ministry has launched a trial run of state-administered school leaving exams amidst continuing controversy over the plan. And this being Monday, we'll bring you a roundup of the sports news. Later on in the show, the Prime Minister's new advisor on human rights brings an arch-conservative perspective to a traditionally liberal position.
If we speak about human rights, we should speak about the rights of ethnic minorities, women, disabled persons, that's okay. But also about rights of majorities like parents and taxpayers.
The controversial Roman Joch in today's One on One. All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. The Czech Republic has stepped up security in the wake of US warnings of a possible terrorist attack in Europe. Tightened security measures are in place at airports, railway stations and bus terminals, as well as around foreign embassies and high-risk facilities. Although the Czech Interior Ministry has said it has no evidence to suggest that the perceived threat of an attack by Al-Qaeda terrorists relates specifically to the Czech Republic, we asked security expert and former head of the country's military intelligence service, Andor Sandor, what could make the Czech Republic a potential target?
There are reasons for that. First of all, it's our operation or participation in the operation in Afghanistan, particularly when we are sending our special troops hunting Taliban, and then the fact that we boast of doing so, which I don't think is a good thing on part of our politicians doing so. And the second thing is our pro-Israeli policy, which is considered to be one of the most pro-Israeli policies from the European Union. And certainly, there are objects in Prague that may be targets for possible terrorist attack, but targets like the Jewish town in Prague or some American targets. But as I said, I don't see at this moment any real threat coming to this country, because this country hasn't done anything so important in the field of foreign policy that would, encourage possible terrorists coming here and doing some terrorist attacks or atrocities against our people.
Do you feel the Czech security forces are prepared to deal with a security threat of this kind? Because one possibility would be that it would be easier for them to actually do something here if the Czechs weren't vigilant enough, say.
Yeah, you're right. On one hand, you have Americans and the British stepping up their security constantly since the 11th of September. And in our country, we've done rather some stupid things in terms of rather lessening down the level of the security preparedness. And no country, including Czech Republic, is ready to deal successfully with a mobile style of operation that happened 2 years ago in India. So it's hard to say that any country's security forces are 100% prepared to deal with such an attack.
What do you think are the chances of a terrorist attack against Europe? What are the chances of it really happening? Are we looking at a serious threat here?
I believe the threat is serious and real, because we no longer can speak only about Al-Qaeda. We just simplify the problem of talking about Al-Qaeda and posing the threat into Pakistan. But countries like UK face problems from Sudan when their citizens are trained in the training camps from Yemen and from Pakistan and other countries. So it's not about only Al-Qaeda itself, but it's also the homegrown terrorists, because Osama bin Laden was successful in calling the cosmic struggle of good and bad, and he really made millions of young Islam people, jihadists, devoted to the sacrificing their lives in the name of Islam. So I think the threat is serious.
Security expert Andor Sándor speaking there about the current security threat in Europe. Now, after years of preparations, the Czech Education Ministry has launched a trial run of the new state school leaving exams that should test the system before the real exams are sat by some 100,000 secondary school students next June. A vast majority of the country's secondary schools are taking part in the mock examinations, although many teachers and students have doubts about the new system. Jan Richter has the story.
The Education Ministry began distributing packages with mock school leaving exams to secondary schools around the country on Monday. By the end of the week, all of the 1,225 schools taking part will have received their exam forms, and the mock exams will begin next week. Pavel Zelený is the head of CERMAT, a ministry-run organization responsible for the new state exams. He explains what the objectives of the mock exams are.
One of them is to check whether technology-wise and organization-wise we're ready to launch the state school leaving exam. We also want schools, teachers and students to get a taste of what the exams will entail in some 6 or 7 months' time. I think it'll be a good guideline both for students and teachers on what to focus on in preparing for the exam.
Uniform state school leaving exams in the Czech Republic were scrapped after the fall of communism, and schools have been since free to design their own exams. But the push to reintroduce a standardized school leaving certificate began in the late 1990s, and a law on the new state exams was approved 3 years ago. Although the new state exam has met with opposition, particularly from students, a great majority of Czech secondary schools are taking part in the mock examinations. One of them is a Brno Spanish language grammar school. Its deputy director is Jarmila Červenáková.
We decided to take part in it because I think it's a good opportunity both for the teachers and our students to find out what it will be like. As an English teacher, I think it's a good idea to have a written exam as a part of the final exams or school leaving examination. On the other hand, the whole matter is very complicated and I'm a bit afraid that it might cause some problems with the organization.
Another school that is participating in the trial run is the Czech English Grammar School in České Budějovice. Deputy Director Štěpánka Kloudová says their students are not sure what benefits the exam will bring them.
To be honest, they are a little bit puzzled because, they know that especially our senior students who are going to graduate in May, because they know that their priority are international certificates as well as school maturita. Because this is what they would need for entry exams. I don't think that they pay attention that much to state maturita simply because they can see any immediate benefits for their future studies.
In protest of the new exams, some students even suggested boycotting them. But ministry officials say this will have no effect. The trial run should test the system rather than students' knowledge. That will only be examined in June, when all of the 100,000 or so of secondary school students will sit the new exams for real.
My thanks to Jan Richter for that report. And now, this being Monday, we bring you the sports news, for which I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby.
We begin today with basketball and news of a major achievement for the Czech women's basketball team, who took silver at the 2010 World Championships, which were held here in the Czech Republic. The hosts hadn't reached the final since 1971, when they took silver while still part of Czechoslovakia, and their best result since then had been bronze 4 years later. So even getting to Sunday's final can be considered a great success for the Czech Republic. As it turned out, in the end, they were no match for the more experienced United States, who took the world title with an 89-69 win at the KV Arena in Karlovy Vary. The Czech's Hanna Horáková was named Most Valuable Player at the World Championships. She was asked by the FIBA official website if it had been a tough game against the Americans.
Yeah, because they have 12 stars, so they can change, they can substitute, and everybody play 100%. For us, it was only final, and we enjoyed it. I think that this is miracle. This is great, and I hope so that this is great for the small children, and everybody would like to play basketball.
Diane Taurasi of the USA paid tribute to the hosts, who had sensationally knocked out defending champions Australia in the quarterfinals.
Czech Republic is a basketball country. Their players, their fans, their coach was amazing. And, they had a fantastic run.
The Czech Republic's men's volleyball players have also been enjoying their best world championships in decades. A 3-0 win over Cameroon on Saturday put them into the quarterfinal group stage in Rome. Their next test is against the favourites Brazil on Monday evening. That's after the recording of our program. Football now, and the Czech international team gathered in Prague on Monday ahead of what could be a make-or-break Euro 2012 qualifier against Scotland. World Cup winners Spain are expected to win Group I. That leaves the Czechs, Lithuania, who beat them in their opening game, and Scotland scrubbing it out for second place and a berth in the playoffs. Failure to win on Friday night could leave Michal Bielek's team with too much to do to reach the European Championship in Poland and Ukraine in 2 years' time. In the Czech League, there is simply no stopping leaders Viktoria Plzeň. Plzeň drew their opening game of the season, But since that time, they have won 10 on the trot, the latest a 1-0 victory over struggling Slavia in the capital. And Teplice player Pavel Verbir reached a remarkable milestone at the weekend, when the midfielder made his 500th league appearance for the club. Teplice were in the third division when the midfield grafter first pulled on the yellow jersey 18 and a half years ago. Verbier, who turns 38 next month, says this season will be his last. That's all the sport for today.
That was Ian Willoughby with the sport. A reminder for latecomers that you're with Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. Now on to our main feature today. In today's one-on-one, Christian Falvey speaks with one of the government's most controversial appointees, the Prime Minister's advisor on human rights, Roman Joch.
Neoconservative is not a term heard too often on the Czech political scene, but when it is, then more often than not, it's used in reference to Roman Joch, the outspoken head of the right-wing Christian think tank, the Civic Institute. Mr. Joch himself prefers the title paleoconservative, bestowed upon him by the Prime Minister. That history, along with a certain notoriety for inflammatory rhetoric, lent to waves of criticism when Mr. Joch was appointed advisor to the Prime Minister on human rights, the definition and conception of which was the starting point for our conversation.
In recent years and decades, there has been an unfortunate trend to claim that human rights have been based on group identities. Because I belong to a certain group defined by sex, race, whatever, I should have some privileges. But in my view, that's dehumanizing. We have rights as human persons, not because we belong to some crowds.
But obviously certain minorities do need to be taken care of, because as minorities, they're often trampled on by the majority.
Well, the members of minorities have the same rights as all other people. If there are equal rights of all under law, it would be impossible for majorities to oppress minorities.
What do you believe are the main issues of human rights in the Czech Republic today? Are there problems in human rights, and what are they?
I would say the main issue is the concept of human rights. What do we understand by human rights?
But will you be an advisor on human rights in order to change the concept of human rights?
No. I don't think I would have a power to change anything at all. I could only advise and express my opinions. And I would always advise Prime Minister that human rights of Czech citizens and even of all persons residing on the Czech territory are perfectly protected by the Czech Constitution and especially by the Bill of Rights and Liberties. And that any new laws or regulations are not necessary, because in my view, new laws, especially those who coerce people to behave in a certain way in their private sphere, are in fact restricting human freedoms, not enlarging them.
Okay, but are there people who are suffering from problems of or lack of human rights in the Czech Republic?
Oh, yes.
Who are they?
Unborn children. Their right to life is not protected by our laws, because that's the majority opinion of our people, that there should be a right to abortion. So, philosophically speaking, that's the most serious violation of human rights.
Okay, I'd like to come back to that, but what about the traditional issues of human rights in any society today in the 21st century? Let me throw a few out. Homosexuality.
All consenting adults should have the same rights and liberties. By the way, there is no word homosexuality or homosexual or even heterosexual in the Czech Constitution. So the Czech state should not recognize special rights of heterosexuals and or homosexuals. It should protect the same rights of all Czech citizens, regardless of their sexual orientation. And in my view, that's the case. There is not a single law or government decree either awards special privileges to homosexuals or discriminates against them. And in my view, that's exactly as it should be. Equal rights for all, regardless of their sexual orientation.
So then you're fine with gay marriage in the Czech Republic, for example?
It's called registered partnership. I didn't consider the law, the bill, necessary, but it has been passed. I respect that. And in my view, it should stay. I would definitely not advise repeal of that law, because I don't believe that we should change our laws too frequently. It has been passed. It has been voted for by a proper majority. And it should stay as it is, I believe.
Okay, unemployment and exclusion of the Roma community.
There's a social issue. There's not an issue of human rights. There's a social problem of social cohesion, and of course it should be addressed. The proper question is why? What's the best way, the most prudent way, to integrate Roma community into the mainstream of Czech society? I think there should be two ways or both ways. First, direct financial assistance to particular people in need. And secondly, to try to get employment for excluded communities or areas. I would propose, or I would think, that special enterprise zones focused on areas with high unemployment should be established, that starting businessmen or businesses should have lower taxes in order to increase employment in those communities. But primarily, it is not an issue of race or ethnicity. It's the issue of poverty.
But there is discrimination on the part of employers in the Czech Republic against employing Roma, and if Roma don't have the same opportunities as anyone else to be employed, then that is a violation of their human rights. I'm sure you'd agree.
No, I wouldn't. I would agree that there is discrimination, or there are prejudices by the majority society. But discrimination is a legal term, and according to Czech laws, only government could discriminate against individual persons if government refuses to acknowledge proper constitutional or legal rights. However, I would agree that the majority Czech society, many members of Czech society, could have personal prejudices against Roma people, and that's why they don't give them a chance in employment. What's the good solution? What's the proper solution? I would recommend enterprise zones. Any employer, either of Roma ethnicity or whatever ethnicity, that's not important, who will hire people living, and unemployed people living in underprivileged areas or socially deprived areas, would have to pay lower taxes. And now we shall see. So the bias against Roma would be suppressed by incentives, not by law, but by incentives, by lower taxes. And now we shall see whether people living in underprivileged areas would prefer to work at all. I believe they will, of course, because it's according to human dignity.
Is it not also possible that you bring this kind of philosophical debate to the public for the sake of provocation?
That was the case, yes, to provoke people to think about ideas. I confess to that. I am guilty as charged. But if your main interest is to protect freedom of speech and freedom of conversation, what are threats in incumbent Western society towards freedom of speech? There were times when homosexuals were a persecuted minority. They were viciously, terribly persecuted. Still are in many, many parts of the world. Still are. But that's not the case of the Western society. In Western society, homosexuals are accepted. And that's okay. That's exactly as it should be. They're accepted as human beings with equal rights. But we see trends in certain countries, Western countries, to suppress moral criticism of homosexuality. And that's, in my view, it's dangerous, because that restricts the freedom of speech. But had homosexuals been persecuted in this country, I would be the first to call for their full freedoms. But I see completely different trends and attempts to silence those who have moral reservations about homosexuality. And it seems to me that the government or the state should be completely neutral on that point. It should neither favor nor disfavor or persecute homosexuality, but should let people be free to choose their own sexual orientation at the one hand, and to criticize certain lifestyles on the other hand. Well, if the criticism is non-violent, there should be a right to criticize, non-violently, of course.
Well, with regards to hate speech, what about laws in place against primarily neo-Nazis and neo-fascists?
My opinion is this. It should be legal to deny that the Holocaust happened, but it should be prohibited and criminal to advocate Holocaust. So advocacy of crimes should be prohibited, like violent crimes, I mean murder. If somebody says, I don't believe there was a Holocaust, in my view, he is a fool or a bad person. But he or she should be left alone. But if somebody says, well, there was a Holocaust, it was a very good thing, and we should continue in that or repeat that should be prohibited and punished by jail terms, I think.
Well, what about the freedom then to give the Hitler salute and to wear Nazi paraphernalia?
That's a border case, yes. Is it expression of opinion, or is it a support for crimes? I don't think that the abstract theory of free speech should decide that way or the other way. Perhaps some sense for the feeling of community should be allowed. In this country where the memories of Nazi crimes and communist crimes are so fresh, and people who suffered so much are still alive, I think it is possible for political society to prohibit Nazi and communist paraphernalia. But, for example...
So are you going to stand up for someone who's put in jail because they have a tattoo of a swastika on their back? Are you going to stand up for that person?
If the sole reason for putting him behind bars was that he had swastika on his back, I probably, my inclination would be libertarian. The punishment was too much. But if he said at the same time that we must kill all Jews, I would have no problems to put him behind the bars. I would even advocate putting him into jail.
In 5 years' time, what do you want to see changed because of your work as advisor on human rights?
First of all, my intention is conservative, so rather to preserve than to change. And I would like to preserve our current state and scope of civil rights and civil liberties against any restrictions. That's the first point. So my position is more conservative than a revolutionary. Secondly, if there are some changes, I would like to shift a little bit the awareness that human rights are rights of all, not only of members of minorities. Oh, members of minorities, of course, yes, but of all other people. So if we speak about human rights, we should speak about the rights of ethnic minorities, women, men, disabled persons, that's okay. But also about rights of majorities like parents and taxpayers. Those two groups, in my view, are underrepresented in government councils dealing with human rights.
The Prime Minister's human rights advisor, Roman Joch, was Christian Falvey's guest on One on One. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Danielle Lazarova saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.